You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
From the Fifth Quarter Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, you're listening to Coach Unplugged. And now, your host, Steve Collins.
Hey, everybody. So happy you decided to join us. Before we jump in today, I'd like, first of all, if you're liking these podcasts, if you like this one or the 5-Minute Basketball Coaching Podcast or High School Hoops or the Funnel Down Defense Podcast, if you like any of those, go over and check them out. Leave a 5-star review. We love sending them out to the world. It's one of my passions in the world is kind of share this game. But before we jump in, I'd like to give a big shout out to our two sponsors. First of all, Dr. Dish, the number one shooting machine on the market. It's easy to set up. It's got great customer service, and they are always on the cutting edge of giving players and coaches what they need. And that's why I love them. They not only give stuff away, if you go over and look at Dr. Dish is always giving stuff away and sharing with the community. And that's why I want to share them with you. Mention Coach Unplugged, they'll give you $400 off. That's right, $400 off. Also, go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. It's a one-stop shop for basketball coaches. 14-day free trial. No one else does that. No one else gets the cell phone number and the email for the runner. No one else is being run by a high school coach for a high school coach. This is what I do. This is what I do. I'm not running this other thing. I'm not a businessman. I'm a high school basketball coach trying to help you become a better basketball coach. And to be honest with you, I've done pretty well in my career, and I'd like to share that with other coaches. So go over and check it out, and let's head off to the podcast.
3 minutes. He'd cross out 144, one, and he would just work down with and he was very regimented, kind of like everything I've heard how John Wooden ran. It was right to the minute. I've seen North Carolina practice with Roy Williams, literally to the second of how they everything's timed out. So yeah, I would start with the time in mind, and then I would basically just write, you know, and again, conversations with coaching staff, my own thoughts, knowing who we're going to be playing, like what are we trying to accomplish, instead of just putting in drills for the sake of putting in drills. Like, okay, what weren't we good at the last game? Or we got to find some things to work on. Maybe it was just as simple as we didn't pass and catch well. All right, you know, for a minute in our quote unquote warm up part of practice, we'll just do 4-corner passing of just passing, catching, pivoting. All right, you know, we didn't rebound well. So, okay, maybe we do have to go back to some simple box out drills.
I think that's a good takeaway for a young coach too, is that's where I told you my practice plan looks like. I'm writing on there like, holy crud, we're not doing this. We might not have time in that specific window to do it, but I know that I'm going to grab that and go, okay, ooh, we need to work on that. Or like maybe we played the night before on the bus ride back, or with my assistant coaches or whatever, we're talking like, okay, what did we do well? What didn't we do? What do we need to work on? Those skill sets. I agree.
Yep. And just that's kind of where my mind would start of, you know, kind of where are we now? To your point, all right, what didn't we do well? What did we do well? What's our next game, you know, in terms of the opponent style? Or do we have to work on zone offense? Is it, you know, or are they going to trap the post? All right, do we need to work on, you know, press offense if it's going to be a pressing team? So, you know, I think we just kind of built in practice based on, again, where are we now? You know, what was good, what was bad, what's moving forward, how much time, you know, I think that's something is huge of just the kids knowing your kids in terms of like, where are they at physically and mentally, you know, even more so this year, obviously. I think all of us this year, you know, there's
well, so I've been much- shut down. I haven't seen my guys since March, like wow. Zero. So wow. We were just at a coaching meeting on Sunday. And I was talking to my coaches and I said, when we get them back together, they're just going to play. And they go, what do you mean? I said, we're literally like the first time we can, I've already talked to my AD about getting outdoor basketballs. Cause I think it might be spring by the time I can actually, said, we're just going to play. I just want them to play. Yep. Like I can let the other stuff, they've lost so much in their ability not. And a lot of them are playing. They're just not playing with me, but I need to get them. It's assuming that you have five pieces and you put the five pieces together.
Right.
Like, I just need them to play together. Like,
This
is how so-and-so passes, and this is how so-and-so plays post-defense. And it's like, they just need to learn. It's like a symphony. All those instruments got to go together.
No, definitely getting a feel for each other. Yeah, no, 100%. So I think that just, again, I just go back to knowing your team, you know, kind of knowing who you are as a coach and you know, I think that goes back to your practices will be dictated to some degree by your philosophy of how you play and what you believe in. But I really think, you know, like every practice is new and it's based on the previous practice or the previous game of again, where are we, it's always moving. Where are we at? You know, and what do we need to get better at? And also, what are we really good at? Let's keep doing that. You know, like let's keep improving what we're good at. But yeah, I think it's that combination of, you know, how much once you get into the season, how much time with preparation, how much time with shooting, how much time with skill development, how much time playing, but where you're still fresh for that game that's upcoming. You know, maybe you have two or three games in a week. And you have to know how to balance that where, you know, you don't want to leave your best basketball, you know, on the practice court at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. You want to be ready for, you know, Thursday night at 7 o'clock tip off. So I think that's a real balance to figure out as a coach. I think that's kind of an always evolving. I think as a coach, you're always trying to figure that because, again, your team's always changing.
When did you do it? I've always asked coaches this. When did you practice plan? Like, when did you do it? I know when I do it. When did you do it when you were doing
it? I would do it the night before. I would do it when I got home. Even if, you know, even if I was out recruiting, I would, you know, if I was – and again, in New Jersey, we're fortunate. Everything in New Jersey is an hour ride from where I was located.
Well, nothing shuts down either. It's like I my son took a video class there. He was kind of interested in video with his cousin and stuff. And he was amazed how the city didn't, like, he was in Manhattan. But he goes, the city didn't really, like, what are you talking about, Drew? If it's 3 a.m. and you want something to eat, you can find it somewhere in New York.
Yeah, no, 100%. 100%.
Like, it doesn't, it's like. Yes. So I can empathize with
but
that.
But yeah, I would, you know, even in the car going recruiting, I would kind of have my, you know, after practice, it was kind of a good time to, you know, you're in the car, don't turn the radio on, don't be on the phone, just kind of give some thought to, like, you know, what was good, what wasn't good, what's upcoming, what's tomorrow going to bring, what's the next opponent going to bring. So I would kind of formulate some thoughts in the car ride, or even if I was just driving home, and then I'd start kind of put some notes together. But I would do it the night before with the anticipation of whatever I have planned for the day is going to get screwed up because something's going to come across my desk. Something's going to happen that's just going to take away time. And I didn't want to be scrambling, you know, 3 o'clock practice. I was in a meeting from 12 to 1. All right, I got 1 to 1:30. I'm going to play in practice. And then all of a sudden something happens. And then you're walking out to practice unprepared. And the kids know that. They know when you're ready and you're not ready.
What I tell coaches too, because they ask me that question a lot, I say, I do it the night before. And I would say it's about 85% done.
Right.
And then I know I'm thinking about it. Like I'm thinking about it at night when I'm sleeping. I'm thinking about it in the morning on my drive to work. I'm thinking about it. And then it's like the tweaks will happen. Or I'll talk to, or one of my assistant coaches will send me a note and say, hey, we didn't do this very well. It's like, oh crud, where can I fit that? Mm-hmm. So, some people do it early morning. I'm a quote unquote morning person, but I'm not really, really a morning person. Like I'm more sharp at midnight at 1 than I am at 7 a.m. Know myself. So that's when I get a lot of my work done. So it's like, I think that's always a good rule of thumb because you're not rushed. If you're rushed, if it's second hour and I'm teaching third hour and I'm doing my lesson plan second hour, it's not going to be very good.
Right. Right. Yeah. No, exactly. Exactly. And I think the other thing I would add to it, once I kind of knew what practice looked like, it gave me more time to think about what's my message going to be to these guys and how, you know, what am I saying? You know, and again, like I always wanted, and again, I, as a kid growing up, as a young coach, I was a huge Dean Smith fan. So I always, in my practice, I always had offensive thought, defensive thought, and a quote of the day. And I would spend more time the next day on those things. Like what's my message to these kids? And I had a book in my office of quotes, and I would search for something that I thought was relevant to the moment, where we are as a team, where we are in the season. And I'd look at the practice plan again, what am I emphasizing? And then I would have that as the offensive and defensive. They would know it when we, you know, get together before practice and whatever other message I wanted to get to them. So I could always refer back if it wasn't in practice happening, like, hey, what do we talk about defensively, what we wanted to accomplish today? Like, that's not what it's looking like right now. So, you know, I think that the morning for me was more practices, look, to your point, 85, 90% done. All right, maybe the trainer comes in, tells you something with a kid, you got to adjust. But, you know, what was my message going to be to them? Because I think that's crucial of just what are you saying to your guys? Every day, I think you got to have a different message. You know, if you just come in, all right, let's go, let's have a good one today. Like, you know, that gets old quickly.
It does. It does, especially, you know, month two or month three.
Yeah.
So a couple side notes. So we're if people are listening to this from 3 or 4 years now, we're right in the middle of COVID, and you're in the middle of your season. So I'm just putting it in context for people listening later. Explain your schedule. Like, I know the Badger schedule because I was watching them play Loyola last night. It's like, it's got to be literally like you don't know if you're going to play the game tomorrow.
Yeah. I mean, right now, as we're speaking, I should be in Loretto, Pennsylvania, which is out in Western PA, kind of an hour and a half from Pittsburgh, with about 5 minutes to go in the first half of our game against St. Francis, Pennsylvania. We were supposed to be there yesterday and today. We found out Saturday they got put on pause. They were supposed to play St. Bonaventure Saturday afternoon. We were practicing. We got a text from our athletic director. Hey, they've been put on pause. So, like, we should be playing right now.
Right. So what do you do? So this has got to be a couple of variables going on here. Getting ready for – this is probably a year where you're not – getting ready for the other team is obviously a huge thing. But it's almost like you can get ready for them, but you don't know if that's going to be your next opponent.
100%. 100%. I mean, I have 30, 40 page scout. St. Francis PA was my scout. It's sitting on my desk in the folder, ready to go. And I'm going to get back to it at the end of January when we play them and update it and see, you know. So, yeah, I mean, you definitely, this year as a coach, I don't care what level, what sport, it's flexibility. It's being adaptable. It's being patient. It's not, you know, you just can't lose your mind over stuff that's happening. Because in the grand scheme of life, like what we're doing is so, so unimportant. right now. But it's in the same breath, it's really important for these kids because this is what they live for. And this gives them, you know, their purpose of what they're doing. And they've obviously hit, I mean, to your point, you haven't seen your guys in 9 months. I mean, like, basketball is a huge component of these kids' lives. So when we're with them, we really have to be everything we're just talking about, practice and preparation. We have to be really good because we're so, and we say it to our guys every day. I mean, we this morning, we literally had a 7 a.m. practice just from a gym availability, and there's a huge storm coming here on
huge northeast. Huge storm, like 2 feet. You know,
yeah. So we literally
put the snow. Where do they put the snow from New York City?
A lot of times they'll dump it in the Hudson River or the East River. You know, they literally will cart it and dump it in the river.
Because I asked a New York City coach, a couple of them, I said, where does your snow go? And I go, it has to go in the Hudson or the East.
Yeah,
but it
also piles up. Trust me, it's because it's you know, everyone thinks New York is enormous, and it's relatively speaking small. Which is very densely populated.
Yeah.
But yeah, so there's still a lot of snow. But so we were in literally this morning at 6:15 for COVID testing. We practiced 7 and 9 because our women had a game at 12 o'clock, and we had to be at a gym so they could clean it and so forth. But every day we're in the gym, we're saying to our guys, you know what, like, this is precious. Like, be thankful we're healthy. You know, we're still playing because there's so many programs that are on pause. And not, I mean, there's still some programs that haven't played a game yet. Right. I think there's
seven
or eight D1 schools.
It's a John Wooden quote, bitter or better. Do you want to get bitter or better? Like, mm-hmm. I tell my guys, and we're Zooming virtually. We're doing everything. I said, we can get bitter about it, but we can't control it. It's not like coaches saying you can't play.
Right.
Like, this is not in my control. So let's get better. Let's become better people. Let's have some gratitude. Let's do this. You know, it's like
100%.
Yeah, you can only do so much. Is there a coaching moment over your career that's a teachable moment, like a success or a failure? I always ask every coach this question that a young coach might learn from.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, again, as an assistant at Seton Hall, We lose in the national championship to Michigan by 1 point, controversial foul call, you know, in overtime, lose by a point. And again, and it was a very, probably one of the more controversial calls in NCAA finals history. And I was 27, I think, at the time, and I'm in the locker room, and you just don't know how anyone's going to respond. And the way that, and again, I can close my eyes and see it in front of me of how PJ as a head coach dealt with it of, you know what, like, we're not blaming the official. We lost to a team that made one more play than us. You know, if we had done X, Y, and Z better, but you know what, congratulate them. And that has still stuck with me. You know, whatever it is, 30 years later, of just, you know what, like, that is sports, that is life, that is basketball. You know, don't complain about it, don't point fingers, don't blame someone else. You know, the other team beat us. You know, so yeah, as a young coach, I mean, that was an unbelievable moment for me to, you know, so close to, you know, the ultimate prize, you don't get it. How do you respond to it?
Literally the worst. That's like being the other nominee when you run for president. That's like being Senator Clinton. I'm telling you, it's from someone that's won 3 state titles and lost 4 in the finals. Oh my gosh. Those 4 are 1,000 times worse than the positive 3 wins because you're so close. Yep. That's the hard part. I mean,
and as a coach, you know, also, you're always hopeful you're going to get back, but the reality is like, oh, this was our moment. You know, like, it's not going to happen again.
And it's never going to happen for that group again. That's what always kills me.
Yep.
Is like
100%.
That group or that team will never be the same.
Like, right.
You know, that's what I always preach to the guys. It's like, this is the only time that this group will ever be together.
Yes.
Like, you know.
Yes. No, that's such a good point.
Enjoy that moment.
Yeah.
All right. So let's do, I want to respect your time here. Let's, let's do my rapid fire. We'll ask my quick questions, and some of these tend to be longer than. Do you have a favorite brand of basketball?
Do you mean style? Like
the actual ball.
Oh, the actual ball. Probably the Wilson, the NCAA ball that is used. I just think the feel of it, and you know, just I think there's something special that it's also the ball used in the tournament. But yeah,
it's for people that are listening, it's the highest bidder. Whoever's going to pay the NCAA the most money is going to get it.
Yes.
If Spalding comes up with more money, guess what? They'll be the favorite ball.
Yeah, no, exactly.
One word to describe your ideal player.
Competitive.
Okay. If you go to one sporting event, what would you go to and why?
The one I've never been at, I would say the Masters. I mean, I've been in a Final Four. I've been in NBA Finals. You know, I like golf. Just the Masters. It just seems just special would be the word I would use.
That's on my list. The Masters is on my list. What does your game day look like?
It varies. You know, I think if it's your scout, you're probably a little more the thought of that moment. If it's not your scout, you're probably working on the next scout, you know, cause again, fortunately in college, okay, you know, you'll have an hour walk through whatever, but most of the rest of your day is free until you get closer to game time. So I think that is a time of, to some degree too, you know what, you can take care of some personal stuff in the morning, an errand or two you have to run. You're probably not getting into the office as late cause it's going to be a later night. I think again, if it's your scout, your mind is to that game, probably more so than if it's not your scout. If it's not your scout, you're working on your video or, you know, your edits or just kind of clean up your scouting report for that next game or your next scout. But I just, to me, again, I think I was probably more conscious as the head coach, as the assistant, but it's just.
It's only a kick. A jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Just being in a good state of mind of because I think kids pick up when you're uptight, when you're nervous, when you're agitated, when you're angry, I think your team follows to some degree your vibe that you're giving off. So I would just try. I really on game day just try to be relaxed and not tense and not uptight and kind of the mindset. You know, we've done our work. We've had good practice.
It is the best night's sleep I have during the season. Before a game, because I can't do anything. I can start I refuse to prep for the next opponent. Me as the head, I don't do it. My assistants will do it, but I don't do it.
Yep.
I want to think about that opponent that we're playing. So I'll go to bed like, oh, this is great. I don't have anything else. I can't do anything. I have a shooter on the morning, but I really can't do anything.
Yes. Yes.
What's one thing you do to relax?
Walk, you know, again, I'll walk in the city where I live or just even just walk on campus or get off campus again, especially day of a game. You know, we actually have a couple malls that are near our school. Sometimes I'll literally just get out of the office for a half hour and go just walk and just kind of just quiet and not on the phone and not talking. It's just to kind of get your head in a good spot. But you know, reading, but I've gotten so much like probably most coaches now I read to try to improve and get better. So I don't know if it's quote unquote relaxing.
Yeah.
Cause your mind is still working.
I do that too. I walk my dogs and, sometimes I'll listen to podcasts or books, but sometimes I just need to nothing. Nothing.
Definitely.
It is relaxing. What's one coaching technique you think's important?
In communicating, you know, and again, I don't know if it's a coaching technique per se, but I think a life skill thing, just communicating. I think with everyone, with your staff, your AD, your principal, your players, your trainer, your academic advisor. I think so much now with technology is we're texting someone, we're sending someone an email to cover ourselves, so there's a paper trail, as opposed to just walking down to someone's office and talk. And I know that's more difficult now with the pandemic and, you know, social distancing. Right. It's not as easy, and people aren't on campus necessarily as much. So there's more Zoom meetings and so forth. But I just think communicating and, you know, I think with your players, just making sure they know what you're looking for, you know, be it in this drill or their academics or what you're expecting of them in the weight room, in the training room, in the classroom, just, you know, so there's no, I don't know, just no confusion. I tend to be very black and white. It's either, you know, this is how it is, and you may not agree with it, but I'm going to tell you what my expectations and what I hope for. And I don't like when there's that gray confusion middle of, you know, I'm not really sure what coach is like. If a kid is saying, I'm not really sure what coach is saying. And again, shame on us as coaches that we're not being ultra specific, so they know
right
where we're at.
I tell young coaches, I said, most of your parent problems are going to be because you didn't communicate.
Yep.
Like, the parents might not be happy Johnny's not playing, but if you're communicating to Johnny and you're communicating to them, if they're going to get more on you because they don't know when the bus is leaving.
Right.
They don't know when practice is on set. I mean, I tell them, if you over communicate, it's not going to take care of everyone, because it's hard to be rational with irrational people, and parents can be irrational. Mm-hmm. But I said, it's going to take care of most of your problems if you over communicate.
Yeah. 100%
over communicate. And like you said, it's a great life skill. What's the best basketball player you have seen in person?
Probably at the college level, I would say Allen Iverson when he was at Georgetown. You know, he was incredible, like in person, live. One, how small he is, you know, how light he was, but what an athlete. I still remember a play, and again, we used to play at the Meadowlands where the Nets used to play, you know, pro arena.
Right.
The place was sold out, and it was I can see it. There was a side out of bounds play, and them just trying to get the ball. And they were probably in a line, and, you know, one guy went this way, you know, one guy went front court, one guy went to the back court, and he came to the ball, and they just threw it up in the air for him to get it. And it was like he was on a trampoline. How quick and how, and you could literally hear the crowd like gasp. Like, oh my God, did he just do that? Of just how explosive. And it was just literally get the ball in bounds. There was no play. There was nothing. But just his athletic ability and his competitiveness and toughness for a small little guy was astounding. And obviously he showed it for, you know, a ton of years in the NBA at the highest level. But, yeah, he was right. I mean, I was really fortunate when I was in the Big East. It was unbelievable. I mean, Derek Cole. I mean, you go through the list of 30, 40. Oh,
trust me,
guys.
I got they're in my cards downstairs somewhere. All those guys. Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, just amazing players. But
the elites are crazy. Like, if you've ever seen Giannis or LeBron in person,
right?
Like those. Like I because again, I teach stats. I tell my kids. I said you should go see them because there's like 7.5-8 billion with a B billion people in the world. Those are like the 300 freaks of like,
yes,
they're just not normal human beings. Like he runs like probably Iverson. He probably runs like someone that's 5'10".
Yep. Yep.
Like he shouldn't do that. Like that body should not do that. Like,
exactly. And LeBron is just, I mean, I've seen LeBron sitting in the stands at pro games live. I never obviously on the floor, but yeah, even, I mean, you could sit in the top row at a 20,000 seat arena and it's like, oh my God, like this guy.
Right. But then he runs like he's 6 foot.
Yeah. And, it's incredible.
It's incredible. It is. Yeah. It is. What's the best player of all time?
I still think Jordan. I think it's the Jordan LeBron debate. You know, the game has changed, obviously. LeBron, to me, is amazing with you add in all the USA basketball and Olympics and going to
longevity.
Just the amount of time and that he's still able to play at such a high level at his age is, and where every night he's the focus, like he blows my mind.
From what I've read, he spends like $1 million a year in his body. Like it's crazy. Like, yeah, which he should. It's
exactly. No, he just, to me, he's kind of just at it. He's almost like Tiger Woods in golf. Like, to have the level of play for that period of time when everyone was coming after you, and yeah, you're better and everyone knows that, but you still have to produce every night.
Right.
Is, yeah, I think that to me probably gets him a little bit, maybe.
When you look at Michael's career, it was relatively short too. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not, mm-hmm. it's not like, and then he took that gap year, you know?
Yep.
What's one thing that helped you become a better coach?
I think experience. I mean, I know that's a stupid answer maybe, or a simple answer, but just, I think longevity of just, and that's something I've strived, and I know you do with all that you do. Like, you just keep trying to get better.
Right.
And just,
I tell this on my podcast. I wish I knew what I knew in my 20s.
Oh yeah.
I knew everything in my 20s. What are you talking about? I know nothing now.
You're not kidding. You're not kidding. And I think now for young coaches, it's not that it's easier to be a successful coach, but I think there's so much more information at your fingertips. You know, where, you know, growing up, all right, went, you know, in the spring, okay, to one or two clinics, yet hopefully there was a good clinic within 100-mile radius of where you lived that you could drive to and, you know, go see three or four speakers. Where nowadays, I mean, it's amazing.
The amount, it's almost too much material.
No, exactly. I have on my desk from probably, again, March to September, all my notes from the different Zoom calls and clinics I was on, and, you know, all that stuff.
I stopped going. Like, about a month into it, it was too much for me. It's like, these are all great things and these are all great coaches, but like, I don't need, I mean, that I can only take so much. It's like, let's dive into that. And that's what I did. I dove into practice planning. Mm-hmm. I dove into the run and I dove into some things that's like, okay, let's see if I can get better at these.
Right. Exactly. Because I have probably 100 some odd pages of notes. And I knew myself, I was just, oh my God, it's too much. I almost like burnt myself out.
Yeah.
And I almost had that thought, oh, I gotta listen to this guy. This guy's a great coach. I got it.
Right.
So, you know, then I was like, all right, you know what? I can find that online somewhere. I can refer back to it.
Yeah. I think for the young coaches too, I don't think the wins are as high and the losses are as low as they were when I was in my 20s and 30s.
Right.
I mean, I'm just as competitive, but the losses were like horrible and the wins were, you know, it's like, it's part of getting older. I think it's just a little bit more in the middle of the, you know.
Yeah. You know? And you know what? I think nowadays too, though, I know I look at guys that I really respect. I think there's so many good coaches now at the highest levels who are just very even keeled, you know, like their behavior on the sidelines, how they act. I mean, Mark Few, Tony Bennett, Brad Stevens. I mean, like, to me, like, if I could go back and be in 20 or 30 and become the coach I'd want to see now, it'd be Brad Stevens. Like, that for me would be, like, the ultimate of just such a perspective and always, like, really thoughtful in what he says. And just, I don't know, he seems like a guy that, like, you'd want to play for, you'd want to work with, you know, like, again, the old days.
It feels like you're playing chess against him. Like,
yeah.
He's thinking. He's on that sideline analyzing.
Thoughtful. You know, so, like, those are the guys that I look at and, like, you know, that's what I want to be. I hope my guys are looking at me thinking, okay, that's kind of what we're not getting the highs and the lows. We're getting thoughtful talk and coaching points and corrections. And when watching video, that there's – you know, I'm not talking to impress you with how much I know. I'm just trying to help you. And that's how I kind of view those guys, of just, they just have such a, I don't know, just a great perspective of the business of coaching, working with their kids.
Yeah. They're people, persons or whatever. Yeah. What is one word to describe your coaching style?
I'd like to say consistent. you know?
Okay.
Again, kind of to our point, wins, losses, just consistent. I mean, again, when I was a young head coach, I was way too much with the refs. I was way too everything. I was just lost my mind on too many things that in retrospect didn't mean anything about winning and losing. So I think now I've just gotten much more, to your point, just even keel and consistent and not overreacting, good or bad. And just be just so the kid, I think kids need that. I think kids need to know like what they're getting, you know, like we want that with our players. We want them to be consistent. So why shouldn't they expect the same from us as coaches to be consistent? So I really try to give that a lot of thought of just like, I'm hopefully the same guy win and lose when they play poorly, when they play well, when they don't need anything from me or when they do need a lot from me, that I'm just being consistent.
I love that. All right. So one quote.
I love the John Wooden one. I always think of it like, don't mistake activity for achievement. I really like that one. And I see that a lot, you know, when teams are really playing hard and they're all over, but nothing's happening. Like, what do you, like, you know, all right, it's hustle, you're diving up, but nothing's happened. No one's right. Scoring. No one, you know, you're running your sets great, but
Quit posting your workouts on Snapchat. I don't care. Like, right. Great, right. You're active, but it's right. Like, is that right. Really making you? Yeah, yeah,
I yeah, agree. Yeah. I've always liked that one because I just think it that one, and I love the Belichick one. It's so simple. Just do your job. I think you can take that in so many, as a coach, as a player, as an administrator, just so many directions of.
I love that. Just in school, do your job.
Yeah. Yeah, like I have that on a sign in my wall in my office that it from my desk. I literally see it every second I'm in my desk. And it just, it kind of also to me is a reminder of don't get caught up in all the nonsense. Just like we're here for the kids. You know, that's the most important thing, coaching the guys on your team and just kind of just do your job and whatever your job and your job changes all the time as a coach, obviously. Yeah. You know, it's especially now with all that's going on. I mean, we're helping set up the gym and clean the gym, and you know, we don't have a manager this year because of COVID. So we're picking up balls and putting them on the, you know, like nothing's above you as a coach.
Just ain't that the truth?
Yeah, just do your job. You know, whatever your job is at that moment, do it and do it well. You know, do it the best of your ability.
The best basketball coach of all time. I think I know the answer to this, but that's a hard one.
You got to say John Wooden. I think just from I remember the first time being in Pauley Pavilion when I was at Seton Hall. We played there in the NCAA tournament, and I remember, you know, kids are changing, we had practice stretching, whatever, and you look up at the banners, and the only banners are national championship banners. There's nothing about conference championships, or and it's just, oh my god, like how many, you know, just right. The years in a row, and yeah, I think every conversation's got to start there.
I agree. So you sent me a list of books. You can only pick one book that you would have a coach read.
Yeah, ooh, that's a really tough
one. I know. You sent me a list. There was like 10 of them, I think.
Yeah, I'm still not through it, and I know it's been out for a while. I'm really enjoying Kevin Eastman's book, you know, Why the Best Are the Best.
I haven't read that one. Is that good?
It's good. I mean, he's a guy I've known. I met him actually when I was coaching in high school. He was an assistant at BCU, recruited one of our guys, and I've obviously seen him progress up the ladder of coaching. Now he's into kind of corporate –
right
and so forth, but yeah, he came up with, I think it's 25 words that just how they apply to be it coaching players, etc., businessmen, administrators, and yeah, I just like, okay, very to the point, you know, there's not a lot of fluff in it, or really no fluff in it. Yeah, I think that's one of the better ones.
Okay, I agree. Okay, so the last question I always ask is, what would you tell your younger self?
Oof. Again, I think a lot of what we talked about, just kind of just learn from every
– take a deep breath.
Yeah, and just learn from every situation. I think as coaches, we can learn so much from our players. You know, just I think those guys give us so much feedback without them knowing it of just, I don't know, just be consistent, learn, just keep getting better. I think all the things that we say to players that a lot of times we don't do as coaches, you know, always talking to kids, get better, work on your game. So, all right, work on your craft as a coach, get better, be consistent. Don't have, to your point, don't have all the highs and lows in this business, because there's a ton of them. If you get caught up in all the highs and lows, you're going to really lose sight of what you're doing. And again, like, I think we all got into coaching probably. We obviously all love the game and we like teaching and we like working with kids.
Right.
So
right.
Like, I still try to not, even though I've been in college and it's a business, of not lose sight of that we're here, you know, like, and the other thing I would say is, like, really be careful what you say to your players, because they remember what you say. And I think really put thought into what you say to them or what you text. Nowadays, maybe you're even texting them more than you're speaking with them, because, like, your words really have an impact on your guys. And you might have – and I have this written in my office, like, words on a whiteboard in my office. I have just words, and there's an arrow that says impact, another one that says intent. So, like, we intend to say something as a coach, but you know, all of a sudden your emotions get involved, and then you don't know what the impact's going to be upon that kid who's a 19-year-old kid who, you know, is impressionable and maybe really needs you not to talk to him about, oh, your footwork stunk on, you know, as you're watching video, but there's more going on. So I think just really be thoughtful when you're talking to your guys, your players. I think that, because I'm a big believer, what you say really strikes home, because they do view you in a position of power, and not authority necessarily, but just in a position of, like, you have an impact upon their life. And sometimes
I think to summarize, words matter.
Yeah.
I think 100%. We live in a world right now where we know that.
Yes.
Words matter. And
yeah. Definitely.
Yeah,
definitely.
I think so too. All right, Coach, I really appreciate you taking the time. I know how busy you are, and I really do appreciate it. So no, I will put pleasure. All Coach's stuff down below too, the contact information. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, my pleasure. I really enjoyed it. I love talking the game. I love reading your emails every week and your website. I just think there's just so much great content out there that, you know, you just never know where you're going to find something that makes you think, and, oh yeah, that helped me get better today. So that's kind of what I'm always looking for. So awesome. I really enjoyed this.
Thank you, everybody. Hope you enjoyed that. If you want to support us, you want to help us keep the lights on here at teachhoops.com, go over, join 14-day free trial, and then stop the car. Subscribe, like, Apple 5-star review. That would be good. All right, maybe. Have a good day. Bye.
Sports Social Podcast Network.